Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
Anyway, hi, for those of you who may not know who I am, my name is AJ Williams. I am the next gen pastor here at the church, which means it's everything from nursery all the way to seniors in high school. And yes, your children are amazing. And no, there's never a time I want to wring their necks. Never. Never. But anyway, today what I'm going to be talking about is I'm going to be focusing on baptism. One of the things that we were going to be doing this weekend is we were going to have a youth baptism service at the Aquatic Center, and we had close to 12 kids sign up for that, which is amazing, right? But we were supposed to have it at 5 on Saturday. Well, at 4:15, the Tipton Aquatic Center and Farah both called me letting me know that they are closing for the day because they had a pipe issue, a lot of water was draining. I don't know. It did not make sense to me. All I knew is that they were closed. So what we're going to be doing is we are actually going to have a baptism for everyone. Like, anyone that wants to be baptized can come. And once it's open, we're going to set a new date, and we're going to have the sign-up available for everyone, not just you students. So keep that in mind. We are going to keep you guys updated on that. And for those you students, you are going to get baptized. We talked about it. You guys accepted the calling for it, or you accepted the call from God for it, and it's going to happen. So with that being said, we're going to be talking about baptism. And have you guys, either growing up or even like going to work, have ever had those moments where you know you're about to get in trouble, but yet the person like never like knew yet? Like, you know, like one, like for example, like for me, like I knew like if I was going to get in trouble at home, but I was just waiting for my mom and dad to find out. I'm just like, well, okay, I'm just going to kind of avoid them the whole day. Sorry, mom, you don't know about this one yet. So back in middle school, I had an art class that I absolutely hated. And during art class, at the beginning of the school year, we found her supply closet. And in the supply closet were all these like clay like cubes. And when we took pieces of them off, we would roll them into little balls and whip them at each other during class. Well, what ended up happening during that is her desk is in the middle of the classroom, and she has a Betafish fishbowl right in the middle. My dad knows this. I have a pretty good arm. And my friend Trent is on the opposite side of me, just doing his work, not paying attention. And I know I can get the best reactions out of him, like very animated, very loud. So I grab one that I found that was like lying on the ground. What I didn't know is that it's been there for a few weeks. So it's like solid as a rock. And so I grab it, and I whip it, and it hits the fish tank on the middle of the desk and just breaks. And the fish falls off. It was still alive for the rest of the day. And then it died the next day or the few days after that. And I was like, ah, geez. But I was like, okay, I'll be fine. You know, she doesn't know who it is. She found out who it was. My classmates ratted me out. She didn't give me detention, but what I found out was that there was going to be parent-teacher conferences coming up soon. And I was like, oh, geez, I know she's going to talk about it then. I know she's going to bring it up. I was so scared of parent-teacher conferences. This was the second time I was super scared of parent-teacher conferences. But every single time, I was just like, oh, my gosh, what are they going to say? I'm just going to get in trouble. I'm going to get grounded. I already know it. Like, this weekend is going to be no Xbox, no video games, nothing. And so I just dreaded parent-teacher conferences, and especially this one. So it's on like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And as it's coming up, I'm just like, oh, man, I know what's going to happen. And then finally, on like a Wednesday or a Tuesday, my parents said that they weren't going to be going that year because they were busy or whatever. And I was just like, I survived, unlike the fish. But that's besides the point. But we all have that feeling or that wondering where, are we ever going to get in trouble? Are we ever going to get caught doing something? Whenever we know we're doing something we're not supposed to do, we always have this shame factor of who are they going to find out. And a lot of times we have that feeling when we walk into church or when we go into church service, is we begin to feel that same shame and we begin to feel that same guilt going in, like, I wonder if anyone knows about this about me. I wonder if anyone knows that I did this in my past. I wonder if anyone judges me to have this going on in my life. And we begin to have this fear and we begin to have this guilt inside of us. Or even when we're worshiping God, we don't feel like we're good enough because we're just thinking all about the bad things that we've done or the one negative thing that we did. And it's distracting us from what God is doing. Can you guys agree to that? Like, that has happened before. So that's why we're going to be talking about the power of baptism and what that really means. And so one of the biggest things is, why is baptism for us? And then I'm going to continue off of that later. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go to our very first verse, which is Romans 6, 1 through 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So this has been a really hot topic. You know, God forgives us anyway. So why do I have to stop doing what I'm doing if I know he's going to forgive me? Why would I stop? Why? What's the point of me stop doing whatever I want because I want to do it if he tells me not to and I know he's going to forgive me anyway? And so that is not the right mindset when it comes to asking for forgiveness. That's not the right heart when it comes to forgiveness. That's just making sure that you're in the clear. That's just making sure that you are safe. But God's not a fool. Yes, he understands that he will forgive you at all times, but he also understands the heart of what forgiveness is and where your heart's at when you ask for forgiveness. And at the same time, he also wants us to understand how heavy sin really is in our lives. We don't really understand. If that is our mindset and that is us continuing it, then we don't really understand what sin is, because then we just think sin is dust on our shoulder and we just ask him to brush it off and we're good. No, it is a stronghold. It is things that allows the enemy to work inside of us and to steer us away from God. Sin is a separation from God. And so baptism, the symbolism of it, and dying with Jesus is a symbolism of how grave sin, like how heavy sin really is. Because God understood how bad it was that he gave his only son for us to die on the cross so that we can release our sin and be connected to him. He understood that. That's why when Paul says that when we are continuing to sin, we are not, what he's saying here is that we don't actually understand the gravity of sin if we continue going back to it. We don't have that understanding that we should, that God wants for us. So I'm going to go ahead and go to the next one. All right, I'm going to have to read on this because that's really tiny lettering. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. We, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism, that's what this is all about, is when you are baptized, you are doing a physical symbol of your spirituality. You are doing a physical symbol of saying that you are burying yourself with Jesus when he died, when he was in the tomb, and that you are rising again, just like Jesus did, into new life with him. Can I get an amen on that? That's exactly what baptism's all about. That is why we are being baptized, is to give a physical symbol to our spirituality, saying, God, I am giving my old self away. I am repenting of my past. I don't want to be a part of that past. I am dying off from that, and I am rising again in you. I am having a fresh start. And that's what baptism is all about. Let's see. I kind of jumped around on there, but that's fine. That's fine. We'll be good. So when we do that, when we have that symbolism of baptism, when we understand that we are rising again into new life and we have that mindset, it is so much easier to step away from sin. It is so much easier, because how many of you guys had like New Year's resolutions, right? Where you say at the beginning, on January 1st, I'm going to stop doing this. But yet you didn't actually make, the effort to do it. There was no actual accountability with that. But with baptism, it kind of gives you an extra motive, because you are stepping out in faith. You are doing this action in public that gives you accountability to yourself and a motive to yourself saying, no, I'm going to do this. It makes it that more serious to you to step away from that sin that God has called you to step away from. And so when you begin to do that, you begin to resist that sin, because you are saying, no, I believe that God has raised me into a new life. I believe that I am separated from this. You're not working your way from it. You're already separated from baptism. You're already separated because God already died, or Jesus already died on the cross for you, and you accepted that into your life. And so when it comes to that fear of coming into church, when it comes to that guilty feeling when you are in worship and you are praising God, you just feel like this anxiety, that is the enemy. That's not God telling you that you're not good enough. That's not God saying you have to do this to be better. That's the enemy trying to speak into your life. And so when you do, when you have that baptism, you have that encouragement inside of you, you can say, no, I know that I'm in new life. I know that God has bigger plans for me, and I know that I can step into God's likeness, and I can be in his presence just the way that I am, because that's how he created me. Can I get an amen on that? All right, next verse. We're getting there. Sweet. All right. So Romans 6, 13 through 14, going farther down. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Just like I said before, sin has no control over you. As much as we want to think it does, as much as we want to have that shame, as much as we want to have that guilt, it does not have control over you like you think it does. Especially after you are baptized and you believe that you are rose again into new life, it has zero control over you because you are a completely new person. We are free through the power of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Through baptism, we are giving a physical symbol that we believe in our hearts that we are burying our old selves with death and Jesus, of Jesus, and rising again into new life with Christ. Can I get an amen on that? So, now with that being said, I would like to also hit on another point of baptism, and specifically John the Baptist. So when John, when he was working in his ministry, he had a lot of followers, and he was doing everything for God. He was so focused on God. And when Jesus came up to him and asked him for him as Jesus to be baptized by him, he went under the water and came back up, and God's voice came from the heavens as a dove and said, "This is my son to whom I am well pleased." And all of a sudden, John was just like, this is it. This is exactly what we need. And he sent all of his followers to go follow him. And so I love the message that John the Baptist brings, because what he was doing and what we need to take from that is that he was preparing the way for Jesus. When we talk about baptism, when we talk about our daily lives, how are we preparing the way for Jesus to those around us? How are we preparing the way for people to see Jesus in our daily lives? I spoke about this either last month or 2 months ago, that in your life, the people around you, you are the closest representation to Jesus that these people will ever see. Your family, the people that you work around, the people that are just in your friend groups, whatever it is, you are the closest representation of God, of Jesus, of the church, and they know that. And so how are you representing yourself in that? How are you living your life like John the Baptist, as solely dedicated to that? And so the other interesting thing about John the Baptist is, as he was working in his ministry and as he was doing all these amazing things, that people began to ask him if he was the Messiah. People began to ask him, are you sure that it's Jesus? Are you sure it's not you? And a lot of times for us, when we start doing a lot of good things, and when we start being, you know when you're good at something. You know when you're really good at something. And there's just that pride that kind of comes and stirs up inside of you. And for me, it's honestly, it's a battle a lot, because, like, I'll be honest, like, I love what we're doing in youth, and I love what we're doing in children's ministry, and it's easy for me to just be like, yeah, we have a lot of kids. Yeah, what we're doing is great. Yeah, I see a lot of growth in there. And to begin to puff up in that. But that's not what I need to be doing. I need to be following like John the Baptist, where when the people began to ask him if he was the Messiah, he told them to go see Jesus themselves. He said, no, he redirected them to the person that was doing it all. And that needs to be for us in our lives. When we start being really successful and when we start doing all these great things, people notice that. When you begin to follow Jesus and you begin to dedicate your life to him and let him speak into your life every day, there is just a light that shines inside of you that's unlike any other. And people recognize that. And when people recognize that, they ask you about what it is, and that is your opportunity to redirect them to Jesus, just like what he calls us to do. And so don't let pride distract you from what God is doing. Don't let the world distract you from what God is doing. Don't let pleasing others distract you from what God is doing. Because there's an opportunity every single day. There's an opportunity almost every moment to dedicate to God and to show your love towards him for other people to see it. And so John, even when he was about to die, even when he was arrested by King Herod, he still redirected people to Jesus. And when they went to Jesus, they saw him perform miracles right in front of their eyes. And so when it comes to us, seeing John the Baptist, seeing the life that he lived, completely dedicated to what God wanted, being completely focused on Jesus' plan, all he did was just be obedient. And that's all he's asking of us, is to just be obedient to what he is calling us to do today, to be obedient to what he's calling us to do in this season, and that's all he asks from us. And so that's where I kind of want to end with us. I know I'm a very quick talker. I'm a very fast person. I always end early. It's okay. I'm not allowed to apologize anymore, so it's fine. So it's okay. It's okay. We just get to lunch early, that's all. But where I want to end is that God is never ashamed of you. God is never ashamed of what you've done. He is never going to give up on you. And I can tell you that from personal experience because I have messed up plenty of times. I've gotten to the point where I've had to step down from what I was called to do because of my pride, because of my ego. And I felt so ashamed. And I had to I literally had to lay on the floor and just rededicate myself to God right then and there because I felt so guilty because I never understood what my pride was doing in my life because I was so focused on that and not what God was doing that I got caught up in the action and not what God was doing. And so when we look at that moment and you begin to feel that guilt of, yeah, maybe I did do this wrong or maybe I am in this mode where it is all about me, that's still not a point for you to give up because God's not giving up. That's still not a point for you to just feel ashamed and hide. That's a point for you to step up in that and own it and move on from that and have a testimony to tell other people about. Because I can tell you when I had to step down and I had to reevaluate my life, I became a lot closer to God and I became a lot stronger as a man of God because of that. And so now with that, I have it as a tool to talk to my youth students whenever they feel guilty and when they feel ashamed about the mistakes they made. And it's great for me because then I can tell them it's going to be okay. I can tell them that they can get out from wherever they're at because I know I did. And so when it comes to us being obedient to God, it ultimately just comes to tuning your ears to what he has to say for you today and during the season. And so when we leave and when you guys go into your daily lives and just go back to life, just look at how are you listening to God? How are you seeing God in your daily life? How are you representing God? And if God's calling you to be baptized, if God's calling you to take that next step to say, you know what, maybe there is some junk that's inside of me that I need to get rid of. Maybe there is something holding up inside of me that needs to be let go. And you know what, this baptism thing sounds like the right step to take it forward. Then I'll have the sign-up sheet out there ready for you, and you can go ahead and sign up, and we can make sure that happens for you. And lastly, I want to end with this, and it's going to be a question. How can knowing who Jesus is change your life? Actually understanding who Jesus is, how is that changing your life? How is it affecting your day-to-day? How is it affecting your conversations? How is it affecting your decisions? What is it about Jesus that you know already that has already changed you? Because you're here right now because Jesus sparked something in you already. And don't lose that. Because he's already done a lot inside of you, but he's not done. When we look at eternity, God has it as an entire endless rope. And our lives are just like a little piece of red tape on that rope. He's been working before we existed, and he's going to continue working after we're gone. But what is he doing right now in you? And I need you to understand that it's never going to stop. It's never going to stop for the rest of your life. He's always going to be working in something inside of us. We're never going to make it in life. There's always going to be something to work on. There's always going to be something to be thankful for. There's always going to be something that God has for you. and it's our job to seek it out. Absolutely. Come on up.
This morning I was getting ready to come to church, and I was reading in Romans, coincidentally, you know, and something stuck out to me that goes right along the lines with what AJ says here, and it's in Romans 2:7, and one key word really sticks out: to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. The key word there to me that really stuck out was persistence. And I think that saying that, you know, if we just keep trying and trying and going back to God, that's the goal. We're going to continually, day in and day out, make those mistakes, whether they're big, whether they're small. But if you're persistent in chasing God, you will be blessed with eternal life. Mm-hmm. And you will find that, you know, that end game happiness.
Yes.
So I think I just think it was really odd that I was just studying the book of Romans this morning, and then bam. I mean, these exact same things Shelly and I was having a conversation about. And it's just confirmation to me that, you know, that God is just bringing these things to light, you know, that, you know, not that I need to be perfect, but just be persistent. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. Thanks, Lee. Persistence, not perfection. I like that. So like I said, how can knowing Jesus change your life? How has it changed it? How is it changing it still? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and just pray us out. Dear God, just thank you. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the hearts that are here, the ones that are here to hear your word, to hear your plea, Lord, and to just seek out what you have for them. Thank you for the opportunity to speak into their lives and to just shine your light that you have called me to be, Lord. God, I just pray over each and every one of us, every child, every adult, every teenager, God, that as we leave and as we go back into our daily lives, Lord, that we begin to see you more in our actions. We begin to see you more at home. We begin to see you more in our conversations and just in our daily lives, Lord. God, I just pray that we begin to seek out what you want for us today, what you want for us this season. Where do you want us to move? What is the next step, God, that you have called us to take? God, I just thank you for this season that you have put us in. Thank you for getting us ready to move, getting us ready to go into our communities and to share your word and to be that light and to be the church that you have called us to be, this loving community, this loving family, God. I pray that you give us wisdom to move forward in that. I pray that you give us courage to reach out to new people, to reach out to this city that you have called us to be in, to just reach and show your love and show what you have called us to be, Lord, just to be that light. Whether it's just showing acts of kindness, kind words, encouragement, invitation to church, whatever it is, God, I just pray that you continue to speak in us what you want us to do in ourselves and into our community.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.